Loving God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for all that you are. And we thank you for all that you've done. And with expectant hearts, we look forward to what you will continue to do. Lord, as we open your written word and hear your spoken word now, open our hearts and minds to more and more of who you are and who you call us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, one day a man came up to Jesus and he said, what's the greatest commandment? Now, in those days, they used to talk about the commandments. It was a part of their culture, something they do. And they try to put them in order of priority so they could be the best Jew possible. Now, I think that Jesus wanted to make things easier. And so Jesus sort of turns around and says, you know what? You can wrap up all of the hundreds of laws into just two things. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. If we could just realize that in the complexity of life, that it's about loving God and loving other people. Now, of course, how many of you realize that saying love other people is actually easier than actually loving other people? Right? You might have heard me talk about this before. John Ortberg has a book named, titled, Everyone's Normal Until You Get to Know Them. And in this book, he talks about as is people. Who's been to IKEA? Who's bought something from IKEA? Who's not been able to put something together from IKEA? Not in my house, because Vicky does it all. If you need help, see Vicky. But they have this section at the front of IKEA, and it's the as-is section. So if you go there, you know if you're going to buy something from that section at the front that says as-is, you are not going to get a perfect piece of furniture. There is something wrong with it. It's chipped. It's scraped. The paint's not right. The door might not open or shut properly. If you buy something from there, it's as is. You can't send it back. How many of you know that in your family, there are as is people? How many of you know that in your life group, there are as is people? Too much to comment on there, Byron. At your work, there are as-is people. At your school, at your uni, at your sports club, wherever you are, there are as-is people. And you know what the most damning and confronting issue of this all is? You and I are as-is people. No one is perfect. We are all a little dysfunctional and we all have some issues. And don't look at me with those spiritual faces saying we're not dysfunctional, because we all are to some degree. And the sooner we get to realize this, that we're not perfect, I actually reckon the easier life and relationships will get. Have you ever read the Bible through the eyes of relationships? Quite often we come to the Bible with all sorts of ideas in our mind. Think about it this way. Go all the way back to Genesis and we'll look at the Bible through relational eyes. Let's start. Cain killed his brother Abel in a fit of rage. Noah got blindly drunk and did all sorts of things. Lot offered his virgin daughters to the men of Sodom. Later his daughters got him drunk and were impregnated by him. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob all played favorite with their sons. Reuben slept with his mother-in-law. His father's concubine. Judah slept with his daughter-in-law who disguised herself as a prostitute. All this is in the Bible and before Genesis 40. And you know what the scary thing is? This is a godly line. This is our history. This is part of our story. It's like a script from Days of Our Lives, isn't it? Each one of these people were as is people. But the amazing thing was, God still did something in and through them. Despite their imperfections, despite their dysfunctions, None of them were seen as normal, right? Who's feeling better about their family already after hearing those ones? We are spending some time in the next couple of weeks in particular looking at a new series about how, about relationships. Relationships. As Brett said just before, he said, look, when the O dropped off, he just thought it was a broken relationship, right? So, yeah. It's excellent, mate. But I've sort of titled this series, How to Get Along with Others, Jesus Style. How to Get Along with Others, Jesus Style. You see, we talk a lot around here about creating community. Thank you, Glenn, for sharing that, because sometimes having fresher eyes is helpful. We talk a lot about creating community around here. But I've got a dirty little secret for you. We don't always get on, do we? We don't always see eye to eye, do we? Heck, some people don't always get on with me. I can't understand why. I can. So we want to dig into this. See, when we look at the life of Jesus, we say, oh, his teachings were phenomenal. We look at the miracles and we say, unbelievable. And they are. Both those are incredibly important. But Jesus says when it all comes down to everything, it's about loving God and loving others. And so I want us to look at the life of Jesus and how he interacted with people. I've got a friend that says, we're going to do a master's degree in relationships. So anyone ever wanted a master's degree? Anyone want one? You can have one after we finish this series because we're looking at the master and how he does relationships. Oh, it was terrible. I had to say it though. So we are going to take a high view. Okay, we're going to take a high view. We're going to look at a whole range of things in the next couple of weeks. And we're going to be looking at some certain skills or ideas or values that will help us in our relationships, how to get along with others in the same way that Jesus did. So here we go. Let's jump into them. The first thing we can learn from Jesus is the power to simply accept people. Paul picks up this in Romans 15. He says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. How did Christ accept you? Now, when you read the Bible, you can see that quite often Jesus treated people the same way. For most people, he treated them the same way. It didn't matter about their social status. It didn't matter if they had titles, if they were on the margins, or if they were wealthy. It seems that Jesus accepted people. Now, I read some research that suggests something which you will be offended by. You could be offended by. It says that either intentionally or unintentionally, we all rate people. We put people on a scale, and we have a scale of 1 to 10. And here's how it works. You treat people based on the value you put on them. So if you see someone today, and in your mind, they're a 10, you go, hey, how you going? Yeah, great. If you see someone, and they're like a 6, you go, hey, how you going? And if someone's a 2, it could be, we sort of giggle at that, but the research shows that that's quite often how we treat people. Is this person going to help me in what I want? Is this person going to be the person that I want them to be? Or can I see no benefit of having a relationship with this person? Here's the thing. Jesus put a 10 on everyone. Jesus put a 10 on everyone. One day Jesus was on his way with the big 12, the disciples, to a meeting. And there were some kids coming up to them. And what did the disciples do? The leaders of the future church? They said, get these kids out of here. They're so annoying. They didn't put the children on the 10 scale. And we could argue that culturally this was probably an issue, and it probably was. But Jesus circumvented that, didn't he? He said, no. Don't do that. Let them come. In fact, if you want to be a part of my kingdom, then you actually have to become like them. Jesus gave the children a 10. Another day, they were off to another meeting. There's a lot of meetings. I think I know where we get our meeting habits here. They were off to another meeting. And there was a blind man, and he says, "Jesus, Son of David." And what did the disciples do? "Shut up, shut up." And Jesus rebuked the Big 12 and said, "Let him come as he is." Jesus gave him a 10. And Jesus seemed to do that more and more for those who are marginalized, the outsiders, and so on. Jesus put a 10 on everyone. Imagine what it would be like if we treated people as if they were a 10, even when we know they are as-is people. See, sometimes acceptance doesn't mean approval of everything, but acceptance is incredibly powerful. We see this in Luke 19. One day Jesus was heading into Jericho, and he rocks in, and there's a name called Zacchaeus there, a man named Zacchaeus there. He was a tax collector, hated because he collected for the Romans, and he skimmed off the side for himself. Much hated man. We could debate, but perhaps Jesus had already heard of him. So Jesus rocks into Jericho, and he says, "Hey, Zach, let's do lunch." And in that moment, he put a 10 on Zacchaeus because no one else had. And he goes to lunch. And I reckon you could have heard the murmurs. "Why is he having lunch with him and not me? I'm a 9. And there would have been this tension there, right? So he had lunch with Zacchaeus. Jesus had lunch with him. And in the midst of that lunch, Zacchaeus jumps up and says, "Today I'm going to give half my goods to the poor, and I'm going to give back 4 times the amount that I stole from other people." And Jesus said these wonderful words, "Today salvation has come to your house." Let me ask you a question. Did Zacchaeus change before Jesus had lunch with him? It's not a trick question. No. He had lunch with him, and his powerful acceptance of Zacchaeus may have just led to this transformation in his life. What would it be like for us as a Christian community to just accept people no matter what? A pastor that I know said that after a service one day, he was talking with people, and a guy ran up to him, big smile on his face. He says, "Hi, I'm a Muslim. I used to be an atheist. And I just came to this church service with a friend of mine. I really enjoyed your talk." Now, when you're shaking hands at the door, that's not the normal thing you hear. So this guy, his name's Mark, he said, "Hey, great to meet you. Thanks for that. Muslims and atheists are welcome in our church." 6 weeks later, the same guy comes up to Mark afterwards, the pastor, and Mark says, "Hey, great to see you're still with us." And this guy says, "Hey, guess what? I'm a Christian now." You know what Mark said? "Fantastic. Christians are welcome in this church too." The Pharisees of the day had a different attitude toward people. Their attitude towards people were, "When you get yourself together, then you can come and be a part of us." Jesus' approach was very different. He said, "Come as you are and let my grace impact you." What a difference it would make if we accepted people the way that Jesus accepted us. How did Jesus accept you? Did he wait until you had all your stuff together? No. Some of us are still trying to get our stuff together, aren't we? Paul is saying, look, you might not like some people's behavior, but in the eyes of Jesus and in your eyes, they should be a 10, so welcome them. Welcome them as they are. I think this is a powerful thing that will help you to get on with others. Second thing that we can learn from Jesus is the incredible impact we have when we listen, as Jesus did. I want to make this statement. Relationships are developed, built, and maintained through communication. Relationships are developed, built, and maintained through communication. So communication is not just doing what I'm doing here, just talking at you. Communication is interaction and listening and feedback. And Jesus, although he had a lot to say, was incredibly good at listening and then asking questions, right? He asked the disciples one day, "Who do you say I am?" Now, Jesus knew who he was, but he was trying to draw something out of the disciples. Go all the way back to Genesis. Right in the garden, we see God say, "Adam, where are you?" It wasn't like God was saying, "Well, I created them and now I've lost them." God was trying to draw something out of Adam. Adam needed to think about where he was and why he was there. So Jesus did this too. He had this wonderful ability to listen and to ask questions. Many of us quote this verse that God knows the number of hairs on our head, or lack thereof for some of us, right? That's not so much about God's math prowess. It actually has to do with the truth that God is paying such close attention to your details of your life. And this might be what you need to hear today, that God knows the details and that wherever you are, that God loves you and is listening to you. Jesus' brother James observed much of Jesus' life, obviously, and he wrote to the church, he wrote these words, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." So a blind man rocks up to Jesus. A blind man. And Jesus, you know what Jesus said? "What would you like me to do for you?" Now, what do you reckon the man wanted? He wanted eyesight, right? But Jesus didn't assume anything. He listened to what the person really wanted. And James is saying, you know what? Be careful. You mean you're given two ears for a reason and only one mouth. And I want to say this really careful. I don't think most of us are good listeners. I've done so many courses on listening, and it's a struggle for me. I know I'm supposed to be the best listener in the world because I'm the minister, right? But I don't know if any of us are really great at listening all the time. I know this by experience, by being inattentive. How many dads out there come home from work and you're just, or mums for that matter, whoever comes home from work and someone's talking to you but you're just zoned out? Anyone ever done that? Anyone sitting at the dinner table and done that? Let's not admit it in case we get in trouble. You know when the news is on TV and they have that, you're watching the news and they've got that little strip that goes across the bottom? So you've got the news being read and then you've got the strip across the bottom with all the other headlines? That's what happens in my mind sometimes when I'm listening to people. This is so embarrassing, I shouldn't be telling you this. I have to work really hard not to do that. But sometimes when people are talking to me, I've got that strip along the bottom. I've got one up this side, one up that side, and one across the top as well. Thoughts happen. And it's easy to not really listen and think about the person in front. And of course, when you're listening to people, that triggers something in you, right? And you want to tell your story about what they're saying. Or you want to give advice. Anyone like giving advice? I'm the only one, thank goodness. One person in the church can do it then. It's almost like when we're doing this idea, we're almost saying, "Would you please be quiet while I'm trying to interrupt you?" So we develop these bad skills of inattentiveness, interrupting, finishing people's sentences for them, thank you, jumping to a conclusion, looking into, giving advice, and it takes such discipline and habit-forming discipline to stop doing this. You know where I've always been taught to start with this? When you're talking with someone, when you're listening with somebody, to look in their eyes. Because if you're looking into someone's eyes, it is the beginning point of truly listening. And on another level, I want to say that the eyes reveal a lot, don't they? But we won't go there. I did write down here one of the number one complaints against men is they don't listen. They just want to give advice. I think that's true for both sexes. I know plenty of women that do that as well. But here's the thing. I don't think I do, and I don't think other people want to be seen as a problem to solve rather than a person to be heard. One of the greatest gifts you can give people, one of the greatest things that you can do to help relationships is to firstly accept people and to secondly genuinely listen to them. A little bit deeper now. Listening is at one level, but being empathetic is at a deeper level. When we move from this exterior talk out here to the internal, to the heart. Empathy means to feel with. Empathos literally means in feeling. To stand in their shoes and know what it's like to be them. I've given this example before, but it's a helpful one for me. Anyone play golf? Anyone think they're good at golf? Okay, Byron thinks he's good at golf. So Byron will know the answer to this. So when you putt, the hole's there. The ball's here. Because I've got a good 7-iron in, it's only like 2 meters away. And what do people who are putting do? They get behind the ball and they look at the hole, they look at the angles, they hold their club up. I don't know why they do that, but they do it. And they go like this, and I go, do I know why they're doing it? And they come up and they go, right, I see the lay there, I'm going to give this thing a putt. You know, head down. Good golfers do this. They look here, they do that, come around, then they go, I'm going to get a different angle here. From the side, right, and they walk all the way around the back for a totally different perspective to what they originally had. And they might hold up that little stick, little putter. I still don't know why they do that, but they do it. And then they go and putt the ball. This is what empathy is like. Leaving your own normal perspective and walking all the way around to see it from the other angle. Jesus not only listened to words, but to hearts. A little bit earlier this year, we looked at the story of the woman at the well. And Jesus and this woman had a conversation. And Jesus sees beneath the surface of a person who still hasn't found what she wants. She'd had 5 husbands. She was living with the 6th. She was in the middle of the day, out by herself, drawing water. And here's a woman with a trail of broken relationships. Could you imagine the hurt in her life? Could you imagine the pain? Could you imagine the shame in that culture? Yet Jesus doesn't condemn. Jesus looks at her and he walks around to the other side and he begins to understand how she is feeling. He goes to her heart and realizes this woman is deeply thirsty and hasn't found what she's yet looking for. And through the conversation with Jesus, this woman is transformed. And she goes back and says, come and see a man who told me everything about who I am. To listen is one thing. To be empathetic is another. To hear someone's story is a powerful, powerful gift. The story told of a businessman who's on a train going home one day, and he had someone sitting next to him at the next stop. The person beside him hopped up, left the train, and then came through the door came a man with 2 children. The man came in and sort of slumped beside this businessman, just sort of slumped down, and the kids were standing up, and then the train took off. The kids were being a little bit noisy, and then they were sort of running around, and the businessman's sort of saying, can't you control your kids, mate? Just, you know what it's like when you see kids on the train, they're not sitting still? Anyone know that? Anyone? Be careful. The story's going somewhere. But, you know, you get that feeling, don't you? It's like, oh, come, this is a public place. Can't you control your kids? We're a community. There should be some rules around here. And this man's getting angrier and angrier and angrier as these kids are just becoming annoying. And so he finally turns to the guy that slumped down next to him. He says, could you please control your children? And the man that slumped next to him looked at him and said, I'm really sorry. We've just come from the hospital where their mothers died. I don't know what to do, and I don't think they know what to do either. And his businessman said, in that moment, everything changed for him. He said instead of anger and annoyance, he was overwhelmed with compassion. He says, your wife just died. I'm so sorry. Is there anything I can do to help? Talk about a paradigm shift, right? You know what? I'm learning this still. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a story. And right now they might be annoying you or irritating you. But the truth is, often hurt people hurt people. And empathy doesn't mean, being empathetic doesn't mean you ignore what's going on or what's happening. But what it does say is, it says, I will take myself out of my own self and put myself in their shoes. Jacob's got a mate at school at the moment, and I've got permission to share this with from him. Thank goodness Vicky's saying. We talked about it last night. Jacob's got a mate at school at the moment, and there's this guy, he's got autism, and he's sort of been hanging around with the group at school, and he's awkward. He's a bit awkward. And Jacob's group was going into town one day, and Jacob said he was coming, and I was all over Jacob like a rash. Make sure you take care of him. Don't let other people make fun of him. I was a really bad dad in that situation, can I just say. I was giving all this advice because my heart goes out for people in this situation. Because anyway, it's hard for this kid with relationships. And Jacob was, you know, guaranteed, oh, Gabe and David, they're all really great and all this, we're all taking care of him. And that night this kid put on his Instagram account, had the best day at South Bank with my great mates. And the whole reason I was saying all this was because I said, Jacob, you don't know what it's like. Could you imagine not having any friends? Put yourself in his shoes. I'm really proud of the way Jacob handles all that. Empathy is an unbelievable gift that you can give. If I was them, how would I feel? Here's a sentence that talks about empathy. The root of much relational issues and pain is misunderstanding. Not all, but the root of much relational issues and pain is misunderstanding. Take the time to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Understand the differences that you have. Understand your own dysfunction as well as theirs. All right, what have we had so far? What was the first one? Accept, listen, empathetic, be empathetic. The last one for today, be authentic. It's a great word, isn't it? Authenticity means to be real, to be open, to be honest, to take off or at least lower the mask and let people see who you really are. Jesus was authentic. Jesus had lots of people. He had crowds that followed him. He had 70 disciples. He had 12 disciples. He had 3 disciples that all had different relationships. He even had a best friend, apparently. We don't know if he really was Jesus' best friend because John said, I'm Jesus' best friend. So, you know, he wrote it, so. Jesus almost showed us that relationships are important. Well, he didn't almost, he did. And in Matthew 26, Jesus takes 3 of his relational network with him. And he says these words, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. That's a pretty deep thing to say, isn't it? It's a pretty big thing to reveal. He says, stay here and keep watch with me. Unbelievable vulnerability. This is not Jesus pretending what is happening. This is Jesus saying, I am distressed. I am overwhelmed. I don't know if I can take this. And he's their leader. Notice he's not saying it to the crowd. He's not saying it to the 70. He's not even saying it to the 12. He sent it to those 3. And I reckon we all need people who can actually come up to us and say, how are you going really? And in doing so, being able to answer honestly. Jesus models this for us. Perhaps a degree of openness in your relationships will determine the level of intimacy in your relationships. I remember many years ago meeting with another minister, and you know, when ministers get together, we can be a bit, everything's great and fantastic. Yeah, church is going fantastic. Everything's good. And so, you know, and it's true. It can happen. And so I met with this guy, and I said, so how's it going? What's been happening? He goes, oh, everything's awesome. Everything's great, fantastic. I said, oh, great, that's good to hear, you know. And he said, how are you? And I went, I could say awesome, or I could be honest. And so I said, well, I've got these two issues in my life, and this is happening at my church. And I was stunned that the whole level of conversation changed. And you know what he said? Actually, everything's not awesome for me either. And we had a deep, beautiful conversation. I know this isn't easy. It's not easy, especially, can I say, in the western suburbs, where we have this, we live in a place where image management is very high. And we have to keep it all together all the time. Or at least have the appearance that we do so. This happens in the church. We have to show that we're good Christians when in fact we're struggling with stuff. But if we're going to have good relationships and real relationships that Jesus modeled, then we need to be authentic. We need to find those people who we can be ourselves. And in fact, can I just say that when we gather for worship, you come as you are. If you're happy, be happy. If you're sad, be sad. If you're in the middle, be in the middle. And yes, we come to worship, but don't allow yourself not to be who you are. If you want to scream and shout and dance and sing, go for it. If you want to cry, then cry, because this place, of all the places, of all the spaces in the world in which we live, in these western suburbs, this should be a place where we should have the space to be real. Has anyone ever read The Velveteen Rabbit? Can I encourage you to go and read The Velveteen Rabbit? You'll Google it. If you want a copy of it, I'll bring it for you next week. One of the things it talks about is being who you really are. The Velveteen Rabbit. So, that's enough for today. Doing relationships, getting on with others, Jesus style. We've talked about accepting, listening, being empathetic and being authentic. I know this is high level stuff, but we come to the pointy end now. Oh, there you go. Did you hear that? Did everyone hear that? Yep. Okay. Thank you. Well, there you go. You've got broken relationships and Christ-centered relationships. The two go together. That's great. But let me say two questions for you to reflect on now. Two questions. Which of these would you benefit from growing most in this week? Which of these would you benefit most from growing in this week? That's the first question. The second question, which relationship needs your attention right now? Some of you might not have to think too hard about that. It takes two people to grow a great relationship. But how many of you know that one person can really influence that relationship by trying to do even some of these things? Let's take a moment to be still and to pray. Which skill could you benefit from growing in this week? Which relationship needs your attention right now? Lord, we give you thanks that in your mercy and in your mystery you have been speaking not just to our minds but to the very depth of who we are. And Lord, as we listen for your word for us as individuals and as your church, Lord, we ask that you would help us, that you would help us to take the steps toward relationships. Lord, for those who know that listening will really benefit the relationship they're a part of now, Lord, would you give them the capacity to look in the eyes of the other? Lord, if understanding, being empathetic, understanding where the other person is, putting themselves in their shoes, Lord, I ask, and indeed we ask together, that you would help us to walk around the other side. For that person, those people where there is some trouble, or even if we come across a person this week that's telling their story, that you would create a paradigm shift in us, that we may not just listen, but we may hear and understand. Lord, of accepting others is the one for us this day. Lord, would you help us to get past those things that make our hair stand up on our arms and on our legs that other people might do? Whether it be the way they talk, the lifestyle they live, whatever it might be, Lord, help us to get past that. Would you help us to put a 10 on everyone, Lord? And Lord, for those of us who struggle to take the mask off, I pray two things for us today, Lord, that you would help us to find those people where we can actually do that for starters. That somehow you would help us to find friendships where trust can be given and shown. But secondly, Lord, I pray for courage. Courage to go against what society says about having to fake it till you make it. And that because as we take off our mask, that whatever is happening for who we are, that we might find new life, that we might find this life that you talk about, this life in all its fullness. And Lord, for the relationship that needs our attention, would you lead us by your Spirit, surround it with your grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.